Well, we're going to start our looking at God's Word, and I encourage you to turn to 1 Samuel and chapter 2, and that's where we'll be today in those sections. I'm going to start with a word of prayer first, and then we'll have a look at God's Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word that never changes. Thank you that we can learn about you, how you deal with your people, and how you want us to live and respond. And Lord, I certainly pray that as we stop and consider your word this morning, that we would be listeners and doers of your word. We'll allow your spirit to touch our hearts, dear Father, as you see fit. And so we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, when we were at Crusoe, we looked at the sinful surroundings where that little boy Samuel had to grow up in. And we saw a number of things. We saw how, well, I didn't sort of point this out too much, but when you read it, the priests were taking parts of the sacrifice they weren't permitted to take. But as well as that, oftentimes they were taking the whole sacrifice and not allowing people to make a sacrifice. We also saw how they made themselves rich at the expense of people, and they also defiled the women that were ministering there at the temple. And because of their evil life, they turned the people away from wanting to worship God. They didn't want to go and worship. They couldn't see the point of it. And so the priests were in a terrible mess at this point. And Eli, the high priest, saw all that his sons particular were doing, and he chose to honor his sons instead of honoring the Lord. He should have stopped them from acting the way that they were acting, but he didn't want to upset them, and so he chose to honor them and allow them to continue to live as they were instead of doing what God wanted him to do. And because of this, God sent a prophet to Eli to tell Eli that because of his sin, he was in a lot of trouble, and God was going to punish him severely. And Eli was about to find out that principle that to whom much is given, much shall be required. And as the prophet went to Eli and told him what was going to happen, God revealed his attitude that he had towards Eli. But in many ways, he also revealed his attitude towards us, his people. We know that this is how God thinks. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have an insight to how God looked at Eli and those priests, and how he also looks at us as priests as well. And it's found there in chapter 2 and verse 30, and the last part of verse 30. And it says this. These were the words the prophets said to Eli from God. It says, "Be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." That's what God said to Eli. And here we see God's attitude towards Eli and his sons and towards us. God says, if you honour me in your life, if you honor me in your body, in your work, in your decisions, if you acknowledge me in all your ways, well, then I will honor you. But the flip side of that is, if you despise me, God says, if you push me to the side, you ignore what I have to say, you disagree with my word, then in my sight, God says, you will be lightly esteemed. You won't enjoy the blessings that I have for you. As God says in the New Testament, he will resist the proud but give grace to the humble. And that's what God thought about his high priest Eli. All because he honored his children before the Lord and put them first. And it is very sad when you see men and women who have strong convictions about certain things, and they will tell others about it, and then they have children. As their children grow up and their children don't stand where they stand, instead of doing what's right and sticking to their convictions, they change their convictions to benefit their children. And you see that in so many areas in churches today. They don't like what's happening, but they change for their children's sake. That's not the way you do it. The adults lead the children. Children don't lead the adults. And we see here in the lives of Eli and Samuel the stark contrast between someone that chose to honor the Lord and was honored by him because of that, and someone who chose not to honor the Lord and how God despised him because of that. See, let's be very clear on this. Eli knew God's word. He simply chose not to do it. He heard God's word. He knew God's word. He just simply didn't obey it. And because of that, he was not a blessed man. Now, we see that same principle reaffirmed in the New Testament in James. You can turn there if you like, but in James chapter 1, we have those verses in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Don't just do the word of God, but don't just hear the word of God, but do it. And then it says there in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that is God's word, and continueth therein, that is do what it says, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's where it comes. It's not enough to just hear and know what God says. You actually have to put it into practice and do what God wants you to be doing. And many Christians are very good at knowing what's right. They pride themselves in knowing God's word and how you should be acting and so on, but that isn't enough. We need to actually be doing it in our everyday life. That's when we enjoy the blessings of God. And I'm sure Eli felt very guilty as he ministered as the high priest, knowing what God's word said. I'm sure as he went about the duties as the high priest, I'm sure he knew that changes needed to be made. He shouldn't have been living the way that he was, but he chose not to do it. And so he wasn't a doer of God's word. And his life shows that because he despised the Lord, he was lightly esteemed by the God of heaven. And he certainly wasn't a blessed man. And that's something that's good for all of us to stop and consider. I wonder how many times you've heard the word of God, and God has, through his word, convicted you of something in your life, and you felt the prick of that conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you feel guilty, and you know changes are needed to be made in some area, maybe to do some good, maybe to stop doing some bad, whatever it may be. You know you're putting other things before the Lord. He makes that clear. Yet you've chosen to honor maybe that person or that hobby or that sin instead of doing what God wants you to be doing. That is despising God, not honoring God. And you need to understand that if that's the situation you're in at the moment, maybe you're feeling convicted this very moment, you know that there are changes that need to be made. There are things that God is convicting you about, but you are choosing not to make the changes. Understand that you sit there, wherever you may be, in the seat of Eli. You're acting like Eli the priest and not Samuel. Because you know what's right, you just don't obey it. And that puts you in a very scary position. It puts you in a position where you won't enjoy the blessings of God upon your life, because God makes it clear he honors those who honor him. It means your children may suffer. It means your health may suffer. Your ministry may suffer. Your family may suffer. It's an important principle to get right. You know, I'm so glad I actually discovered that verse when I was a young man, maybe about 20, and it became one of my key verses in life, actually. I got a couple, but that's one of them. And I know that over the years, I have parroted that to myself, and I have parroted that to many people, and you might be there and have heard me say that, where, remember, they that honour me, I will honour, God says. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And I have said to myself many a times, Alan, honour the Lord in your marriage, and he will honour you. Alan, honour the Lord in your ministry. Do what God wants you to be doing, not just what others want you to be doing or what you think is better. Do what God wants and he will honour your ministry. And I've applied that and I've trusted that he will keep his promise. And up until this time, I have not seen him not do or keep his promise. When I've honoured him, he has honoured me. And I do this because I want God to honour me. Do you want God to bless you? Do you want God to honour you? Are you afraid of being despised by the God of heaven, which is a scary thing? Do you want God's blessings upon your life? Well, if you do, this is what God says. Honour me, and then I will honour you. And today what we're going to do is look at a young man who we know is Samuel, and see how he honoured the Lord in his youth and how God honoured him because of it, as opposed to Eli, who didn't honour the Lord. And we're just going to look at one area where Samuel honoured the Lord and Eli didn't this morning, and then maybe next week we'll look at other areas as well. But the one area that I want us to consider where Samuel honoured the Lord but Eli didn't was in the area of the Lord's work. Samuel served the Lord faithfully while Eli didn't. Samuel honoured the Lord in the work of the Lord, where Eli didn't honour the Lord in the work of the Lord. Let's have a look at two verses that highlight this. In chapter 2, verse 18, it says this: But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. And then chapter 3, verse 1, And the child Samuel ministered, so that key word ministered, served unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, just because it says that Samuel ministered before the Lord, we shouldn't think that Samuel was there making offerings like the sons of Eli were, and going in and making atonement for the people and doing these miraculous, important things that were needed to be done in the house of God. He didn't perform the ceremonies like Eli and his priests and make those sacrifices. Now, he was probably only around about 12 years old at this stage. And so he would have done the jobs that a 12-year-old would have done in the temple of the Lord at that time. It says there in verse 18 that he was girded with a linen ephod. That was a shoulder garment worn by inferior priests. And so it's good that they highlight that just to show his status there in the temple. He was just one of the low priests at that stage as a young man. He didn't have great prominence. And so he would have been given the menial tasks that needed to be done, jobs that certainly were more behind the scenes than the more important, so to speak, or up the front, noticeable jobs. You know, we see one of the jobs that he had in chapter 3, verse 15. It says there, And Samuel lay unto the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And so he had the job of getting up first and opening the doors to the house of God so people could go in and do what they needed to do. And I would suggest that this was, if not the lowest, one of the lowest jobs that you could do in the house of the Lord. The reason why I say that is when David was being inspired by God, remember when he said that he would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of his God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked? And he was trying to see the comparison. I would rather do the most menial task in the house of God than to live it up with the wicked. And so he was giving this comparison, showing us where this was in the ladder of status in the temple. It was one of the lowest. So Samuel started at the bottom. And he really served in the temple. He was a servant to all in the temple of God. But although the jobs that Samuel were given, and I'm sure he did more than just open and shut the door, although they may have been menial and behind the scenes, he was still faithful. And he did a good job at it. We're told in chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." He grew in favor with the Lord and men. What we see here is the Lord was pleased with what he saw in Samuel. He was pleased with his attitude, with his spirit of excellence, how he considered what he did important, and he honored the Lord. And it says he grew in favor with God and man. You know, sometimes you can grow in favor with men because you can put on a nice act at the right time and everyone thinks you're lovely. Oh, aren't they just lovely young people? But behind the scenes, you're nothing like that. But it's impossible to grow in favor with God unless you're the real deal, because he knows everything. And I can imagine if he went there in the morning to open up the door and he put on a nice smile and, you know, hello everyone, you know, and made out that he was having a good day and having a good attitude, but inside he's thinking, what do I have to do this rotten job? I don't know why it's me. How come someone else can't be doing it? And he does it in a bad attitude, and he's lazy and he's resentful. He certainly wouldn't have recorded that he grew in favor with the Lord. Yet when we're referring to Samuel in chapter 2, verse 35, it says this. God says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind." I will raise up a faithful priest. He saw even at that stage that this young man was faithful. God looked for a faithful priest, and he found Samuel. And you know, we see evidence of that. You know, I was just trying to see, where can we see this? You know, there's one little glimpse of evidence of how faithful he was, and that was from the night after God came and spoke to him. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But we know the story, how God came and spoke to him. And we're told that he laid awake all night. Now, you would think, well, you could see how it could be possible that if you spoke to God, all right, God was speaking to you that night, you might then start to think the next day, well, I don't know why I have the little jobs. You know, I'm very important now. God is speaking to me. He doesn't speak to anyone else. I don't think I need to do that job anymore. I think I can allow someone else to do that. Or you could think he might be able to get up and be a little bit, I won't get up early and do it today. You know, I've got a good excuse. I'm tired. I've been talking with God. I'll just let someone else do it, or I'll do it a little bit later. And that would probably be a good excuse if they're saying, Samuel, why are you so late today? Well, you know, I've been speaking to God. You know, God, we talk. You know, I'm very tired. But as we see here in chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And he lay until the morning and opened the door of the house of the Lord. and Samuel feared to show Eli. And so he was awake all night. He had been speaking to God, yet what did he do the next morning? He got up and continued to do that menial task of opening the door. That's just a little glimpse of the faithfulness of Samuel. He was still faithful. He didn't get too big for his job or felt too important, unlike a lot of people do, I might add. They're happy to do the simple things, but then as they think they're getting more important, they lay aside those things. I'm too important to sweep or to clean or to pack up. I'm going to leave that for other people because I've got much more important things to be doing. But not Samuel. And obviously God saw his attitude and noticed his service in the temple and knew this was a young man that was faithful and honoured him. Honoured him even in the small things. And that's important. We could look at various scriptures of being faithful in the small things and then God allowing us and trusting us with bigger things. And I do wonder if God looked around for a faithful priest amongst Golden City Baptist Church. Maybe to do some important job, share the gospel with a searching soul, but he needed someone he can trust. Maybe to lead in a direction that is important for us to go. Maybe to serve in another country or serve in a various particular way. If he looked for someone who was faithful, would he look at you and say, now that's a priest that I can see is faithful, even in those little things, there's someone I can use. Would he find that in you? That's what we, each of us, need to be asking ourselves. Would he find you to be reliable? You do what you're committed to do. And you do it with a spirit of excellence. You do it with a good attitude. Would he see you being faithful in the responsibilities he's given you, regardless if it's something big or if it's something small that no one will even know if you did it or not? Well, we see that that's exactly what he saw in Samuel. Samuel was faithful. He honored the Lord in the work of God. Now, that's Samuel. But when you turn over and you have a look at Eli, there's a stark difference. Eli neglected one of the greatest responsibilities that a high priest had. As high priest, it was his responsibility to make sure that the sacrifices that were to come and be offered up to God were the right ones and they were pure sacrifices, because these were offerings to be a picture of the Messiah. That's how important they were and how he would offer himself up as a sacrifice for all mankind. And it was Eli's responsibility to make sure that this sacrifice and these things were pure and to make sure it was done in a way that God said it should have been done. And so if you look at the two responsibilities of these people, Samuel had the job of opening the door. Eli had the job of making sure the sacrifices were a perfect picture of the Messiah. So there's a huge difference in responsibilities. And so you'd think that if anyone was going to be keen and do what was right and honor the Lord, it'd be Eli. But no, Eli got slack. He allowed his sons to take parts of the sacrifice they weren't permitted. He allowed his sons to take the whole sacrifice, so there was no sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice. That's the whole idea for us to have the remission of sins. There was no sacrifice. And he allowed the offerings of God to be abhorred by the people. We read that last time, but it says there in chapter 2, verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. These sacrifices were a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah to come, and people despised it. Eli despised this special picture of God's Son and caused the people to do it as well. And God told him in chapter 2, verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the cheapest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. And so why kick at my sacrifices? You know, when you go by and you see an old can and you kick it, you know, it's not something you're going to cherish. Well, that's what he was doing to the sacrifice of God. And he honored his children instead. And so Eli got slack in his responsibility. Now, there's no doubt he started off well. I suspect he was a very good priest at the beginning. I'm sure he honored the Lord for many years, but as his children grew up and things got harder, he seemed to lose sight of what was important. And there's definitely a warning here for us. You know, just because you've served the Lord, say, for a long time, and in that time you've got busier, you've got children, you've got different responsibilities, and it does happen. And maybe as time has gone by, that responsibility that you had in the house of God has lost its appeal. It's nowhere near as exciting as it used to be. Don't think that God will say, I understand and it's okay. Don't despise the work of God just because you've done it for a while or if you got very busy doing other things. That's no excuse for slackness. Just because you've taught Sunday school for 30 years doesn't mean it's okay to be slack now. Or you've been involved in one way for 5-10 years that you don't have to really be that committed to it anymore. Or you've served the Lord in some other way in the local church. The problem with most people is they start off a ministry with all guns blazing, you know. They're going to set the world on fire and everything's so excited and they're so committed. Then after 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they've got other things, they're getting busier, and they get slack, and they don't turn up at all, they're not faithful. They lose that desire for the things of God. They lose sight of what's important, just like Eli did. I wonder, have you lost sight of what's important? I know it's really hard at the moment in these circumstances because even if you wanted to serve and wanted to get involved and do what you have, we're so restricted at the moment. All I can say is take this as an opportunity to be recharged and refreshed if you can't do those things. But don't use it as a time to just grow cold to the ministry. But I wonder if you've lost sight of what's important. Remember, God honors those who honor him. It's nice to start off so keen, but I'm more impressed with those who continue to serve the Lord for years and years and years. And we see that Samuel was such a man. As we go through, he served the Lord until the day he died as an old man. But he also, as we're looking this morning, he was faithful in the small things at the beginning. And so don't think that just because your responsibilities at Golden City Baptist is behind the scenes or no one notices that you don't really need to be faithful. Because we see in the lesson from Samuel that that is not the case. And you know, because he was faithful, the Lord honored him with a privilege that no one else in his nation enjoyed. Little Samuel enjoyed something that no one else enjoyed. It says there in chapter 3, verse 1, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That word precious means rare. The word of the Lord was rare. God wasn't revealing himself to people. And he certainly didn't reveal himself to Eli or his sons because they were an abomination to him. And so no one was hearing the work of God, word of God. Yet in the life of this young boy, Samuel, God saw a soul who he could trust his word to. And so the Lord came to Samuel at night and spoke to him. As we know, the Lord, verse 4, It says there that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. You see, the Lord spoke to Samuel, but Samuel didn't recognize his voice. Why? He'd never heard God speak before. That makes sense. You wouldn't recognize a voice. He thought it was Eli. Then it says in verse 7, "Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." So that's why he was confused. As I stopped and thought about that God was calling to him, but he didn't recognize, because he'd never heard the voice of God before, realized how similar thing happens to me, and I'm sure happens to you as well. Although the Lord doesn't speak in an audible voice, generally, to us, he certainly still speaks to us. He convicts us. He leads us. He lays things upon our heart. The Lord still speaks to us. But although he does speak to us, often we don't even realize that it's God speaking, do we? We ignore his call. We ignore his voice because we don't recognize him. I know it still happens, and I'd have to confess that. You know, there are times when something comes into my heart and then it just goes again. I don't even think twice about it. And then it comes back again and I think, I wonder if that was the Lord. The Lord's talking to me. And then I sort of dismiss it and keep going. And then it comes back again. The Lord touches my heart again and again. And I think, I wonder if God is speaking to me about this. And then I start to think, wow, I need to see if this is what God is wanting me to do. You know, often we don't recognize the voice of the Lord, and so we ignore it. I wonder how many times God has tried to speak to you, but you haven't recognized his voice. You know, that happened to Samuel, but one thing we can be sure of, as he grew in the Lord and that relationship, he knew when it was God speaking. When he heard that voice, he didn't go, "I wonder who that is." No, he recognized the voice of the Lord as time went on. There was no confusion. And the closer that we are as well to the Lord, the more we will recognize when God is speaking to us. We'll know when it's just our own silly conscience or playing tricks on us, or if it's just hearing someone else, or if it is truly the Lord. The closer you get to the Lord, the more you will get used to hearing his voice. And so a good sign to see how close you are to the Lord is to see how easily you hear his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You know, if he still has to come and convict 2, 3, 10, 20 times before he can get through to you, it's probably a sign that you're not real close to the Lord. Well, for Samuel, he didn't recognize the voice of the Lord. And three times the Lord called, and three times he thought it was Eli, as we know if you went to Sunday school. But then we read this verse here in verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, "And the Lord came and stood and called at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for the servant heareth.'" You know, I love that little glimpse. The Lord came and stood, I suspect, in his room. You know, when my children were young, I don't do it now, obviously, but when they were young, often when they were in bed asleep, I'd go into their room and just stand there and look at them. And then I'd sit down on the bed and I would talk to them. They were oblivious. And I'd sit and talk to them and tell them how much I loved them and how I have plans for them, I pray for them. And that might be weird, I don't know, but that's what I would do as a father. And it made me, when I read that, I thought, I wonder if God does that with us. As we're sleeping, he comes and just stands. Maybe whispers or talks or just looks at us because he loves us. Well, we know he came and stood and he spoke. And he spoke to Samuel. And that night, Samuel spoke to God. And he heard God's voice. Last Wednesday, we were looking at the voice of God in our Bible study and how mighty and powerful he is and majestic. But he can do that, but then he can come and talk to just a young boy in a simple way as well. And that night, Samuel started a relationship with God that would last all his life. And when we think about how if we honour God, he will honour us, oftentimes we think, oh, he'll make us rich, or he'll make us this or do that. Understand that the greatest honour that we can enjoy from God is to have a close relationship with him, that where he talks with us and we can talk to him. That is the greatest thing. You know, we're told that our sin separates us from God. That is being despised. We can't enjoy that fellowship. Well, he was given the greatest honour. God spoke to him. And he enjoyed a relationship with him. It says he lay until the morning. I'm sure that he had goosebumps all over his body. The adrenaline was pumping. No wonder he couldn't sleep. He had just spoken to God and heard his very voice. Can I ask you, have you ever heard the voice of God and because of it you've laid awake at night? It happens at times. What should? Have you ever been convicted about your sin by God and you've been troubled and you've laid awake at night wrestling with God because you know that what you're doing is wrong? Has God laid something upon your heart where he shows you his will or direction or a new calling and you lay awake thinking and praying about it, even excited? I know that's happened to me, probably not as much as what it could or should, but that's an exciting thing, unless it's about conviction of sin, of course. But that's what the voice of God does. But as we finish up this morning, can I just go back to what we were truly looking at, and that is how there was a young man who honoured the Lord in serving God. And there was an old man who got used to God's work and despised God. And we see the difference. One was honoured by the Lord and he had a wonderful, sweet relationship. The other one was despised by God and he suffered because of that. You know, let me look at the verse. I think it says in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, this is what God said. And the Lord, verse 11, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Oh, that's a scary thing. God says, when people hear what I'm going to do to his house because he's despised me, everyone's ears will be tingling. And I tell you, when I start, I'm not going to stop. That's a fearful place to be. And so can I encourage you as young people who may be starting out ministering the Lord, or older people who have been serving the Lord in the local church for years, let's continue to honour him in these things. Because they that honour him, he will honour. You know, I praise God that I had a mum and dad that I could see serve the Lord faithfully to the day they could no longer physically do it and then go home to heaven. I wonder if your children modeled their service to God on you, what will they grow up to be like? If they had the same commitment as you, how committed would they really be to the work of the Lord? How committed would they be to the local church and the ministries? How committed would they be to the Bible studies on a Wednesday night? To the various ministries? Committed to quiet times and holiness? If they modelled their life on you, how committed would they be? Are you a Samuel or are you an Eli? I trust that God will be showing you, and that's between you and him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have made it very clear the things you expect of us. And Lord, we should be able to just do them without expecting anything in return. We are unprofitable servants. We owe you a great debt and deserve nothing. Yet how merciful and gracious you are that you still bless us when we choose to obey and honour you. You are truly a good God. Help us to be faithful, Lord, even in these very difficult times, faithful in the ways that we can be, and then, Lord, not lose that zeal to be back being faithful when we can. And I pray that, Lord, each one of us will know where we stand before you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.